Well, happy International Women's Day from all of us at See Hear Love. And today and all month long, we want to inspire inclusion, to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women and girls. Because when we inspire others to understand and value women's inclusions, we forge a better world. And when women themselves are inspired to be included, there's a sense of belonging, relevance, and empowerment. And when women aren't present, we must ask, if not, why not? And when women are discriminated against, we must call out poor practice. And when the treatment of women is not equitable, we must take action. And we must do this each time, every time. So today's conversation is how we can ensure the needs, interests, and aspirations of women and girls are valued and included, and that all women know that they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. That's coming up.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 9, Episode number 21.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love and to our special International Women's Day show and our season 9 finale.
Lots to celebrate.
Guys, can you believe it?
That feels
the wild. End of season 9, and here we are together. And we have a very special guest, Dorothy Pang, director of the Tyndale Intercultural Ministry Center. Welcome, Dorothy.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Cheryl Nemhard.
Hey.
Great season together. Speaker, wow. Author, justice advocate. So
honored to be here.
Great. What a great season. Trifina Paramala Gagnon, podcaster and speaker. Great season together, too.
So good.
So fun.
So fun.
Yep. And Sinead Litchmore, registered psychotherapist and speaker.
Thank you.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
So International Women's Day, and it's about inspiring inclusion.
Yeah.
When women are included, the world is a better place. So let's talk about inclusion, because a lot of people say it. It's like a buzzword, but do we actually know what it means and what the weight of that is? So what would you say for those who might not know, what does inclusion mean?
Yeah, so I think you're right. These are buzzwords right now, diversity, inclusion, belonging. And what do these three words actually mean? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share an analogy that paints this word picture in our brains to help us understand.
Okay, good, perfect.
So the word, the analogy is a party. Imagine you're invited to a party. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the party is open to everyone. Now, this is not my analogy, but I love this analogy. It's a party. You walk in and there it is. It's diversity because the party invitation was open to all. Everyone is welcome. And so in this room is every dimension of difference, different ages, ethnicities, abilities. It's all there.
Okay.
But just because we're all in the same room doesn't mean we're actually interacting with each other, does it?
Okay.
It's just diversity. It's just a collection of differences. Mm-hmm. And so in order to get to inclusion, there needs to be an invitation. Mm-hmm. So now at every party, there's always a host, right? There's an in-group. If we went into high school, there is an in-group. And somehow these in-groups, they all know how to behave. They know what the cool thing is to do, what the right thing is to do. So when the host or the in-group says to you, Melinda, come dance with me.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes.
Don't ask Cheryl that.
Yeah. Please,
don't ask Cheryl to dance. Sorry.
I tried.
Yes. We tried in our New Year's show, but Dorothy, that's a good point.
And we know what happened there. Continue.
So when the host invites you to dance, it says, I see you. You matter to me. Let's do something together.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like And if you don't know how to dance, I'll show you. I'm a safe person for you. I'll show you around, right?
Okay.
But belonging is a different animal. Belonging is dancing like nobody is watching.
That would be Sinead.
Yes,
Sinead's doing that.
Yes, where you can bring your whole self, where all your own fluid, beautiful motions are a beautiful reflection of who you are. And you bring your whole flavor to that party. So that's the three distinctions. And so when we talk about inclusion and belonging, how do we help others feel that? To feel invited and then to feel like they are safe to bring their whole self.
That's a great definition. And the show is over. Thank you, Dorothy. We got it.
Amazing.
Bye-bye. No, that's perfect. Because then I visually saw that, that you can invite everybody, but are they actually included because they haven't been invited and belonging is then being, I love that.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to fill in? For inclusion.
I was just gonna, I mean, that is just so full and complete, but I feel like in its practical sense, it's making space at the table. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, and there's an activeness to that. There's intentionality. You're looking, you're surveying, and you're saying, what's missing at the table? Mm-hmm. And how do I make space and invite other voices and people and experiences at the table so they feel a sense of belonging, but also like equity as well, like mm-hmm. equitable spaces. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like the image of a table because I think even just a table itself equalizes it, right? There's not one person in power. Right. When you're inviting someone to the table, you're inviting them to an equal space.
There. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was powerful. Yeah.
No comment.
No comment.
It's all there.
Okay.
It's all there.
So we've kind of established this inclusion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, International Women's Day this year is Inspire Inclusion. So mm-hmm. now with that image in our mind, when were we included? When have you been included and how did that impact you? And I want to start with that because, you know, the next question is going to be. So thinking about our life, when somebody invited and then invited, what did that do for you? What was that experience like for you?
I think for me, I think it's this show, yeah. right? Like I developed a close relationship with Dr. Mary and she really saw me and she saw my strengths and mm-hmm. she saw what I can bring to the table. And so she was like, hey, Melinda, you need a break tonight on this show. And I don't think that could have happened if we didn't have a close relationship. Mm. You know, if we didn't have one, it would have been on a really superficial level, but it was more of like, we are part of the same team. There was a sense of belonging, and then she brought me in. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate that, and that's why I'm here, because of inclusion.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I'm so happy for that.
Yeah.
So grateful for that.
It's wild. I was thinking of the same thing, because I think what this show, why it's so meaningful to me, is the intentionality for inclusion. If you look around this table, you see so many skin colors, you see so many different age like groups, and I think that's so beautiful because there's not a lot of spaces where I go mm-hmm. where I see this, especially with women. Yeah. And so the fact that I can show up at a table like this as myself and not feel like I need to put on a different outfit or, you know, show mm-hmm. up in a different way feels really impactful in my own spirit mm-hmm. to show up and be able to be included. And that's my vision and my hope for people who are watching, yeah. that they themselves feel included as well.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I so appreciate that, because that's my hope.
Yeah.
This is hilarious, because that's the exact same thing I was going to say. I wanted to give you some sort of fresh out of the box, but we're gonna drill down.
Oh.
Because it is the Melinda moment. Listen, this is the most diverse and inclusive women's show in Canada. Mm-hmm. And that is a reflection directly of who you are.
Yeah.
You sought to make this space reflective of the kingdom of God. It's thy kingdom come, the fullness. What does the fullness of the kingdom mm-hmm. look like? It's, you know, it's not one of anything. And so I felt included here, and I can't tell you, just as a black woman in a faith leadership space, how rare that is, that someone is not intimidated or threatened, but actually identifies, calls out the gift and is like, you need to be heard. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh.
I do think it's beautiful. The three of us all said the same thing. It is also very interesting that as three people who are leaders in, you know, their communities, this is the place we have felt safest. This is the thing that comes to mind. So I do think there's still so much work to do.
Mm-hmm. That's the next question.
Exactly. But yeah. I'm very grateful for this
Thank
space.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that embedded into the word inclusion is actually power, because someone gets to make the invitation yeah. and someone receives that invitation, right? Someone mm-hmm. is the host, someone is the guest. And if we talk about Melinda, as we've all been talking about, she used the power yeah. that she had to convene, the power to bring women together, the power to put make it public, and she shared that invitation with all of us to call out our voice. And I think that gets us from inclusion to belonging. When someone who has the power, like Belinda does, says, I'm going to use my power to elevate the voices of others who don't have that power. And by taking off her power hat and elevating our voices, we now feel a sense of belonging at this table, right? We get to share our voices and co-create this table together, so it has a flavor of all five of us.
Yeah.
So
that when you say that, I love that you shared that, because it makes me think and wonder, why don't women in power utilize their power better?
Ooh. That's a good question. You
know, question.
They don't want to lose it.
But they don't want to lose it. Are they threatened?
They're threatened to lose it, and they're also threatened to compete in this in the space and the shine of that moment. Like, if I give my power away, will you take up my spot?
Yes.
Will you move ahead of me? There's all these things that race in a woman's mind.
And I don't think it's vindictive. I think they've had to fight so hard to get to where they were.
That's right.
Yes. That it's terrifying to be like, is there space for more than one of me in here? Like, the fact that we're at a table where there are more than one person of color is not normal. So even if you look at like news shows or other shows, there's your one token person of color or your one token female, right? And so it makes sense that you get into these positions, and it's terrifying to then say, oh, but let me bring alongside all of the other people that I know and that I know are qualified. I do think we come by it honestly, and it's the societal structure that has built this almost infighting, where now we're competitive with each other. Now if one woman makes it, we're like, oh, look at her, she's being so whatever, because she's broken outside of the box. And we almost, as women, I think, police each other to stay in this box, and like we become part of the problem.
So one of the things I did want to say, and then tonight, so I'm all for, you know, women, empowering women and supporting, but my moment of inclusion was actually men. So men who had power saw my ability, and it actually makes me emotional because I've had to fight, you know, a lot of things to get where I am. And in this moment, men gave up their power, and it was a pastor who said, I want you to speak on behalf at this television show to speak about scripture with other men of power and preachers. And I was terrified. I was not qualified. And he said to me, you can do it. We'll work with you. We'll train you. We'll help you. Wow. And for a young 20-something woman sitting at a table like this with all men at big churches and organizations talking about scripture on national television because, you know, men believed in me, it changed my life. Wow. And I was terrified. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And there I was, shoulders to shoulder, sharing about Jesus on national TV. And so it takes all of us. It is women to support women. It is men to support women. It is all of us that are going to ensure that inclusion happens. And to this day, that is a marker for me of inclusion and acceptance and a man laying his power down because he could have. And he says, I want to do this, but I believe, Melinda, that you should do this. And so that's where that came about.
I know it sounds like the Sunday school answer, but how did Jesus do it? Right? How did he do inclusion and belonging? I think of the Samaritan woman. Right? Here is a man, a Jew, a rabbi. Actually, he was the Prince of Glory, the Son of God, who had all the power, right? And he encounters this woman who is a social outcast. She is a Samaritan, a pagan, a pagan race, right? And also a woman. And so Jesus encounters her and he invites her into a conversation, right? And then as soon as he invites her into this conversation, he lays down his power and becomes the listener and the learner, right? As he teases out her story, a story that he already knew about her life, but he lets her tell it in her voice. And by doing that, he saw her, he valued her, and then he told her that she was accepted and had a place of belonging in the family of God. If Jesus did it that way, that's how we need to learn how to do inclusion and belonging, taking off our power hat, being a learner and a listener, and creating that space for those who aren't seen.
And I wonder if there's a group of women who, in the name of humility, don't recognize their power, that do have power in their sphere of influence and are not including people and bringing people in because they don't realize the power that they hold. I think oftentimes women, we underestimate our skills, we underestimate our ability, our voice. We are always apologizing, making ourselves smaller. And I wonder if we kind of owned the power that we have, if we would then bring more people alongside with us.
It's so interesting that you talk about women with power. If you look at summer of 2023, we were in an economic recession, but the economy didn't crumble because of why? Like the Taylor Swift concert and the Barbie movie, right? Like women of certain privileges were able, came together and kept our economy from going into recession. Mm-hmm. And I think you're so right. If we are able to acknowledge and harness the power that we have and certain women have, I think that there's so much. Yeah. Like, there's so much that is unstoppable.
So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I'm so lit up, so let me just be really quick. What we're talking about here is Jesus-centered power. And it's very different from empirical power. It's very different from, like, male chauvinist power. It's a power that lays down. It's a power that champions. It's a power that invites radical mm-hmm. welcome. It's a power that sees equal. And I think if you're hoarding power, preserving power, defending power, mm-hmm. Fighting off power, like, that's not true power. That's ego. Can I just check you real quick? Mm-hmm. That's ego. The power we're talking is a power that says, even if I lay it down, I still have it. I'm still who I am. Mm-hmm. I haven't lost my identity or my calling. Mm-hmm. I'm just making space for the other. And I feel like that's an important piece to think about. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. So good.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
So when we look at our responsibility as far as women in our own personal spheres of influence, workplaces, church, families, and community, just one thing, what can you do to ensure that you inspire inclusion where you are? Mm-hmm. Let's go. We're looking right at Dorothy. Dorothy, you start us off.
Go.
In your workplace.
Well, I wanted to share a great story from a high school in the Greater Toronto area. So they wanted to cultivate belonging in their school. This is a commuter school. Parents, staff, students, they commute in, and then at the end of the day, they left. And so there's this sense of isolation and disengagement in the school. So what can they do? Normally, schools would do a climate survey, get focus groups, get the kids talking to each other. And there's nothing wrong with dialogue.
Yeah.
But what this school did was so novel, and I would love to see this happen in more of mm-hmm. our churches and organizations. They used art. So they asked the kids to pick up a colored card, take a dark colored card, and write a story about a time when you felt like you belonged. Mm-hmm. Take a light colored card if you want to write a story about a time you felt unwelcome. So that was step one. Step two was to pin your card. You could pin it facing traffic as it came in if you felt safe to share your voice. You could pin it away from traffic if you felt unsure, but you still wanted your voice to be heard. Mm-hmm. Or thirdly, you could white out your story because you felt unsafe in this school mm-hmm. and you didn't think your voice would be well received. And so these strings were zigzagged across the cafeteria. Wow. Wow. But instead of above the heads, they did it right at face level. Wow. So that when you entered the space, mm-hmm. you had to disrupt what you normally do. And that's inclusion, because we're so used to normally talking to the people we're comfortable with, the yeah. people who are like us. But you come into the space and you have to disrupt your normal patterns of who Ooh. You engage with,
yeah.
right? And if you really wanted to read the stories, especially the stories of the people who didn't quite feel safe, you actually had to pivot and turn around and read it.
Yeah.
And so you could just imagine as you walk into the space, it represents all the students in this student body. And we really are the body, connected by one string.
And you can
get a sense of what the tenor of belonging is and what the tenor of unwelcome is, right? And then you can do something about it. And what the principal actually did with these cards was she intentionally asked those groups that were underrepresented. Groups like the Learning Strategies group, you know, kids who were struggling with learning abilities, or the LGBT groups, or the faith association groups, the people who are usually overlooked, and said to them, here's 10 cards, summarize it, and come do a presentation to me. You are now the consultant to the principal, right?
Yeah.
So that is taking off her power and turning it on its head, right? Giving those who are usually don't have a lot of voice, they get the floor, the face time with the principal. It was
so
beautiful. So
you might see zigzag things next season right across you, just so you know.
Yeah.
Great, and I love the pictures
that
we saw here. Thank you, Dorothy. Okay, Cheryl, in your space,
super quick.
Inclusion?
I'm privileged to be an executive director of a women's organization, and so it's kind of like what I do all the time, Women Speaker Collective. And over there, we just ask the simple question when we gather women together is in where are the spaces you can collaborate? So I wanted to talk about just collaboration. I feel like that's a beautiful way that you can foster inclusion and welcome. It's like, what is the thing I'm called to? How can I help you move forward in that thing? What is the joint sort of space? Where's that space that we can maybe do something unique, fun and fresh? And so just championing one another and seeing spaces of collaboration.
I like that collaboration.
Yeah.
Try?
I'm just like really simple. In my home, I want to foster a home of delight with my kids. I think of, like, especially my daughter, who I'm trying to inspire to take up her space in this world, right? And she takes up her space, maybe it's not too much space some days. But with that said, I think I have seen so many women in my life who are strong, who are powerful, who advocate, who fight, who are tired, who have struggled. And I want to see my daughter see me and see other women love their life and be happy with it, see joy in the spaces they go into. And so for me, it's a part of the inspiration part of inclusion is showing my daughter the beauty of what happens when other people are included and the joy that comes out of that.
And tonight, I know you have some thoughts, but you've also brought a scripture as well. So I think you could probably tie them in together.
Yes. Yeah, I think for me, it's really the intimate relationships. It's like allowing people to know, like, I see you, highlighting people's strengths, because, you know, we're always trying to improve ourselves. Yeah. But I think it's important that when we see someone and we see that they are good at something, we let them know. And I think we can only do that when we know each other intimately. And so the scripture that I want to share today comes from John 15:5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so sometimes when we talk about inclusion, it can seem a bit daunting. It can seem like this big battle that we need, this big mountain that we need to climb over, and will we ever get to the other side? But I think it's important that we maintain our intimate relationship with Jesus and recognize, like what Cheryl said earlier, like our strength doesn't come from us. Our power doesn't come from what we know and our wisdom. It really comes from Christ. And so when we are abiding in him, when we are intimate with him, we can rest knowing, like, I did my part. Like, I did the best that I could, and the rest is in God's hands.
Sorry, Dorothy, you were like, oh, no. Do you have something to say?
No, we're good.
Okay. Okay. Any thoughts on the scripture?
I think it's beautiful because I think even as Dorothy alluded to, when you look at Jesus's life, Jesus empowered women all the time. The first person he revealed himself to after resurrection was Mary Magdalene. Like, it was women. It was women after women. He held space for women to share their stories. And so I love that part of just like leaning into Jesus, because Jesus inspires inclusion.
So good. Yeah, you know, stay connected to the vine. And I'll just kind of take loosely, like, stay connected to each other. There's fruit when we are together. We're better together. And I think so many times we live in silos as women. And I think there's so much power when we come together and make space at the table. So.
Thank you. You know, I so appreciate your thoughts about, you know, See Her Love being a place of inspiring inclusion. And that really, that's the hope here. You know, when you have an organization like Crossroads Media that believes in you and kind of gives you the foundation to then have the power to, it's like, boom. Like, I wish every organization was like this. I pray for women that, again, will give up power to then invite women. And listen, it's been a journey for me. This is not like all of a sudden I've always been like this. It's been a journey of working through feeling threatened, being fearful, you know, being afraid, not wanting to give up because I've worked so hard. So this is this, and I tell this to young people, this is not how it's all been. It's been a long journey of faith and work and trust and failure and getting up and people cheering you on and men and women giving up their power so that I could be here. So I am so grateful.
Now you are doing that. Yes.
And I hope so. That is my hope and prayer. And to see you here is just a testament of God's faithfulness and the prayers. I mean, I know I'm bawling through season, you know, the end of season 9, but this to me is an example of God's faithfulness and what that means to include, to inspire inclusion. And so you're a part of that.
I want to celebrate you because you did the work. You did the work, Mel, and that's all we're saying. We're inviting the women to do the work, to be okay, to surrender their power. Yeah.
So the question for the viewer and for us this week, how will you ensure the needs, interests, and aspirations of women and girls are valued and included in your workplace, church, community, and sphere of influence? It's something to struggle well in, as you think. It's something to be courageous in. It's something to take off your power and to invite and to include. That is the question for this week. And so thank you. Thank you for a wonderful season. It's been inspiring and good for my soul as we grow together. I just hope that you will include women and girls like you're doing, cheering you on. Dorothy, it's been so wonderful to hear these images and pictures and thoughts about this. I'm so thankful for you and the work that you're doing.
Thank you for so much for creating this space for all of us and to learn together, right? Because we were listening to each other and you were sharpening each other. So thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl, Sunite, and Trifina. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you. What a season. And to our viewers, if you want to know more information about these amazing women, resources and blogs, past shows, go to seeherlove.com. And as we go, we're going to be hearing from another amazing woman who inspires inclusion, co-host Anu George Kanjanathopol, called to do justice. And we're going to show you how you can join our See Hear Love community. And as we go, and as we want you to know every day, you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy season 9. Bye-bye.
It is my pleasure to be back here with you today. I'm so sorry. I thought I had turned that off. Let me just, Mom, I'm busy. I'll call you back. That's not fair. I'm not always busy. Yes, it's work. What do you mean? I don't tell you. We talk every single day. Mom, I have to go. I'm recording a show right now. There is an entire queue here. Crew. Goodbye, Mom. I'm sorry. I'll put that on silent. God, this is so very unprofessional of me. Just give me a second. Mom, what do you mean I'm being unprofessional? Why did you call back? Is something wrong? What do you mean you're testing me? Yes, I'm dedicated to my work. I answered because you called right back. And I thought something was wrong. Thank you, Ma. I will get back to work right now. I'm turning it off. Bye, Ma. Bye. Sorry. With internet, WhatsApp, and the phone, she is always in my life. Always. There is no escaping it at all. Like, actually, today. As we celebrate International Women's Day, it's very appropriate that she called because she was my very first hero, my mother, my amma, truly something else. First off, let me make it very clear. She knows everything. Some people ask Google, I just ask my mother. Actually, the really super convenient thing is when it comes to advice, I don't even have to ask. She offers it freely before even I know that I need it. No matter the subject, relationships, career, where I should live, what I should wear, how I should parent, what I should eat, Amma's always there, selflessly offering advice. In addition to her omnipresence in my life, she's this fierce, feisty, protective, like a lioness, and unmessable person. When my parents wanted to start a family, she was very clear from the start she wanted a daughter, even though at that time, girls were seen as the second best in the society, a liability, a pathway to financial ruin to the point where female infanticide was actually routine. Baby girls were seen as so worthless, so much second best, that they were not even worth letting live. Now, my mother lost my brothers, of course, though I sometimes wonder why, but she never gave up on having a girl. After 8 years of ceaseless, incessant prayers, sometimes I simply think she badgered God into giving her the baby girl she desired. The final perfect baby was born. Me, a girl. A girl whose birth was celebrated where most girls weren't wanted. A girl whom she would encourage to grow up to run marathons, study hard, and travel all around the world. A girl who was fully loved, going against the day's culture. My amma taught me that my gender would never come in the way of my dreams and desires. She showed me that I could be anything I wanted to be, and that she would always be there as my pillar of strength, whether I thought I needed her or not. She taught me that the inclusion of women always made the world a better place. She made the decision to stand for justice and change by giving birth to a daughter in that fiercely patriarchal environment. And that has shaped me in ways that words cannot express. Because of Amma's belief, determination, and hope, I have a deep understanding that a different story might be possible for everyone. As the Bible says, for as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. We are of God and we are equal. Women like my mom, her mother, and the women my daughters grow up to be will all be part of that world that is equal in God's eyes. So let's celebrate womanhood, sisterhood, momhood, every other hood there is today and for all the days to come.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. And finally, the International Justice Mission Canada rallies Canadians to the fight to end slavery and violence in our lifetime and prove that justice for the poor is unstoppable. Go to ijm.ca. today. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.